This week, again, with Advent, is about peace. Last week, hope. We light this candle. This one is the hope candle. This one here is our peace candle. Jesus is the light of the world. We light the candle as a reminder of what Jesus has done and what he's yet to do. So if you get distracted by something today, I hope that this candle or these candles might bring you back to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. When you think of peace, what comes to mind? Quite honestly, I oftentimes think of the opposite of peace. I think of things like fighting, arguing, tension, hatred, wars, gossip, lying. Just think, it's interesting because all of these things are actually an effort to bring peace. Fighting. You fight because you're trying to get your point across. And if they could only understand what you're trying to say, we'll be in peace. That tension, why don't we see things in the same light? It brings this arguments. Wars, actual wars, is one side who wants the power trying to force another side to create, to overthrow that other side and eventually to bring peace, although not everybody in that situation has peace. Even lying. Either trying to make others happy or keep yourself from getting in trouble. You're trying to bring peace either within you or within others, and that's oftentimes why we lie. So I ask you to reflect on this question. Would you say that your life is more filled with peace or with conflict? What seems to be more in your life? I don't know about you, but most of my memorable moments are not from a place of peace. Most of my memorable moments and my life-changing moments are from painful times. Those times that we've been betrayed. We have deep pain because we've been mistreated. Maybe the time you looked really foolish and it brings a lot of pain. It doesn't necessarily bring peace. What do we do with all of that? What do we do with the struggle? What do we do with the strife between maybe within ourselves or between us and somebody else? What do we do when we're in conflict? I believe there's a way to peace in each and every situation that our lives face. We talked a little bit about this. Angie mentioned this, that Jesus brings peace. He is peace. You see, but overall, peace can be achieved when someone intervenes in a conflict to either resolve it or takes responsibility for it. Let me say that one more time. Peace can be achieved when someone intervenes in a conflict and either resolves it or takes responsibility for it. I was reading up about the Nobel Peace Prize. I thought this was really interesting. It started in 1901. See, this is what happened. When the inventor, there's an inventor and an entrepreneur, a businessman, his name was Alfred Nobel. When he died, his will stated that his fortune was to be used to reward those who during the preceding year shall have conferred the greatest benefit to humankind. So that's the big picture, and there's a total of, I think, five prizes that are given out. One of them is the Peace Prize. Believe it or not, this actually happens every year on December 10th. We are 3 days away from the next awards for the Nobel Peace Prize. You see, the concept of someone being the initiator of peace didn't start with Alfred Nobel. It started with Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting because it started even well before his birth. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this. You've heard this before. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, this is known as a messianic prophecy. Messianic meaning the Messiah, which is Jesus. Prophecy means to tell the heart of God and or something yet to come. So here we have Isaiah, which was written over 700 years prior to Jesus' birth. 700 years. I challenge you today to predict something that's going to happen 700 years from now. And let's test it to see if it's going to be accurate. It won't be. Unless the Lord is the one doing it. He's the one that told Isaiah to write down the Prince of Peace, and that is Jesus. Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. The prince. A prince is a military captain or general. That's what the meaning of that word in the Hebrew, that a military captain or general. And peace is a Hebrew word called shalom. Maybe you've heard that before. Shalom. That's a greeting that the Jewish folks give to each other all the time, whether they're entering or exiting a house. Shalom. So the military captain of shalom, of peace, is Jesus. That shalom means completeness or soundness or peace. He's the military captain of peace. So Jesus was predicted 700 years beforehand that he would be the Prince of Peace. We jump forward to Jesus' birth. After his birth, he created this group, these disciples, and he's teaching these disciples and telling them that he's not going to be around much longer. His death is imminent. He knows it's coming, and he's telling them about this. He's going to die on the cross. And the disciples are curious and probably a little bit afraid. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says this to them. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and afraid. Just think of that. Jesus himself is giving a gift to the disciples and leaving a gift for all of us who have said yes to him. I think that's pretty amazing. What would you do if you got a gift from Jesus? What would you do with that gift? I don't think I would hide it in my drawer and forget about it. I'd probably use it all the time. And here Jesus says that he has a gift. The gift is the peace of mind and heart. This kind of peace is only needed if you are troubled. You don't need his peace if you aren't troubled. Have you ever needed this kind of peace? He says that this peace that he gives is not like the world gives. What kind of peace does the world claim to give? You see, the peace that the world claims to give is very circumstantial. It has to do with making sure things line up and they've got to be done perfectly or done this way, or maybe they'll ease the tension, the conflict for a moment, but that's going to come right back. You see, this peace is only obtained when conflict in our lives settle down, but how much of life is like that? How do we attempt to gain situational peace in our lives? How do we do this in a worldly kind of way? I think we try to gain peace through shopping. We try to gain peace through drinking, smoking, or doing drugs. Sometimes we try to gain peace through coffee. Yeah, that's right. Early morning coffee, right? Sometimes it's through TV, food, our phones, sex or porn. See, all of those things are temporary. And once we start to get into those things, it feels good and it feels like there's a sense of peace until that thing falls off. And now we've got to gain more in order to have a sense of peace again. And then that's going to fall off. Wouldn't it be great if we had something that filled us, that sustained that peace beyond the circumstances of life? Those things only satisfy for a time, but eventually we desire more and more because that peace is never settled. Commentator William Barclay says this, "The peace which the world offers us is the peace of escape, the peace which comes from avoidance of trouble and from refusing to face things. In the Bible, the word for peace, shalom, never means simply the absence of trouble. It means everything which makes for our highest good. It's not simply the avoidance of trouble." So, Jesus' peace is forever. Jesus' peace is complete. Jesus' peace is beyond our circumstances. This is a gift. Nothing you or I deserve or have ever worked for, yet we're given this gift. My New Living Translation Bible, the footnote, says this, "Unlike worldly peace, which is usually defined as absence of conflict, this peace is confident assurance in any circumstance. With Christ's peace, we have no need to fear the present or the future." No need to fear the present or the future. See, this is what the disciples were dealing with. They were just told in verse 20, John chapter 14, verse 20, that soon he's going to be raised to life again. Only those who die need to come to life again. And they're like, what is going on? This isn't the guy we're following. We're following our next leader. He's not going to die. If he's going to die, what does it mean for the disciples? The disciples know that the Pharisees were trying to trip Jesus up. They're trying to trap him so that they could accuse him of speaking against God. This would bring great turmoil if we were a disciple of that day. This certainly brought them great turmoil. Yet Jesus says, "I'm going to give you my peace." The result is, if I'm giving you my peace, don't be troubled or afraid. Don't be troubled or afraid. Verse 28 says this, "Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am." Jesus is telling them, and he's telling each of us, that even if we feel that he is distant from us, he's given us a gift, his peace. Even if we feel like there's a distance between Jesus and us, he's given us something. He left something behind. He left us his peace. If you were to receive anyone's peace, who else would you want? This is the exact same peace he's giving to us. Jesus was going away, he was telling his disciples, but he's coming back again. He's gone and ascended to the Father in heaven, but he's coming back for us again. If we've said yes to Jesus, he is coming back. He hasn't returned yet, right? You see, because he hasn't returned yet, this fact needs to give us hope and give us peace. He's not right here physically with us, but his peace is. And we can choose that. Because no matter how bad it gets down here, Jesus is coming back, and he will make everything right again. Read Revelation chapter 21 this week. You'll see what the end is like. Why would Jesus be telling his disciples this? Well, we get to continue reading in verse 29. "I've told you these things before they happen so that when they do happen, you will believe." I love that Jesus tells them this stuff for a reason, and he tells the reason, which is so that they will believe and so that we will believe as well. Did the disciples at that time really believe that Jesus was that Prince of Peace? Did they truly believe that? You see, before Jesus went to the cross, Peter cut off the soldier's ear to defend Jesus. That doesn't seem like peace. The disciples all ran away when Jesus was arrested. One of them actually ran away naked, it says, because the soldiers tried to trap him. They grabbed his cloak and he ran out of his cloak. That doesn't sound like peace. None of the disciples were at Jesus' resurrection, waiting for him to come out. And then after Jesus died, they were all hiding. None of them were excited and felt this peace that Jesus says that they were going to have. They were all afraid that they were going to receive the same death that Jesus received because they were following him. None of this sounds like they were living in complete peace. See, it wasn't until after his resurrection that they believed. My friends, Jesus died and rose again. That's why we can believe all that Jesus teaches. They didn't start to trust that he was the Prince of Peace till they saw him again face to face. If Jesus didn't really die or rise again, we'd be the biggest fools to even consider being a Christ follower. He did. And John says that Jesus tells them all of this and tells us all of this so that we believe. My friend, do you believe? Do you trust in Jesus? Can you receive his peace even when things are upside down? What's pretty amazing is you look at Isaiah, and Isaiah says, hey, the Messiah is coming. The Prince of Peace is coming. He's looking forward saying, I'm telling you, he's coming. Jesus arrives, and all of that happens with his birth, and just before his birth and up to his birth, his living, his ministry, his death, resurrection. And now that he's ascended to heaven, he says that he left his peace with us. Not only his peace, but he left his Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit is given to us if we choose to say yes to Jesus. And so what's really cool is that that peace that God has given us through Christ is something that grows as well. See, Galatians chapter 5 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, shalom. See, this is, Jesus is not just something that's coming. Jesus came, he gave us himself, he gave us the peace that he has, and through the Holy Spirit we've received that, and now we have this opportunity to grow in peace. I think that's pretty amazing. This is a gift that is given and a fruit that is produced. Commentator Gary Berg says this, nothing in the world can offer such a gift. Jesus' shalom not only brings an end to the brokenness caused by sin, but it will be the fruit of the Spirit given when he departs. Jesus departed and he gives us the Spirit, and the Spirit produces a fruit within us that has the opportunity to grow. So if you're familiar with this passage, John chapter 14, you'll know that Jesus, this is a teaching teaching of Jesus is called his farewell discourse. It's because he's saying goodbye. Saying goodbye to his friends. It's his final teaching before his death. John chapter 14 was written at the Last Supper. The Last Supper, when all of the disciples are around and Jesus is teaching them that he is going to leave them. The Last Supper with his disciples is in chapter 13 of John. Maybe you'll remember, but at this meal, Jesus did something. He took the bread and he broke it. And he shared that bread with his disciples, saying, "This is my body. Take this to remember me." And then he took the cup and they drank it together. He says that this was my blood poured out for you. Remember, this is before Jesus died and rose again. And they're like, this is some crazy teaching. I've not heard this before. This doesn't make any sense. But it made sense when he died and he rose again. He says that I'm here to give you my peace. And this peace comes when we commune together. We have an opportunity to do communion together today. We get to practice what Jesus taught his disciples before he died in the midst of their crazy, in their chaos, in the challenge of life, not knowing what the future holds, and it seems really crazy. That in the midst of this, the Prince of Peace says, "I'm going to dine with you." We have that opportunity to remember that Jesus died for us, and that we can have this hope and we can receive his peace. And we can grow in it as well. So friends, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, but sometimes our life doesn't feel like peace. And our circumstances won't be very peaceful. Sometimes at Christmas time, it can feel more like tension than peace. But you see, Jesus' peace is way over and beyond the circumstances of our life. And we can choose to rest in Jesus' peace, that we can trust and know that he's got it all under control. And I don't have to have it all figured out. And that's okay. That's okay. So we have this opportunity to receive this together. So a couple of things I want to mention before we partake together. One is, this is for those who have said yes to Jesus. If you've not said yes to Jesus, I encourage you not to partake right now, because this is something that unifies us as Jesus followers. And if you're saying, you know, I'm not there yet, but maybe today's the day. Maybe today is the day to, you know what, I'm going to say yes to Jesus because I want that peace that Jesus says he'll bring. You can make that decision by simply saying in your heart, "Lord, I choose you, I trust you. Amen." That's it. I choose you, I trust you, have your way. Amen. If you mean that, you have the opportunity to partake with us. This is an opportunity to lean in, not to run away. Okay? Second thing, you might be in a position where you've known that you've worked hard against the will of Jesus, and you're not in a space where you're ready to come and receive communion because your heart really is not in the right space. I'm not saying perfect. I'm not saying that. None of us are perfect. But actively choosing the things against Jesus might make you want to say, "I think I should probably wait." And that's okay. We will do communion again. This is an opportunity, again, not to make you pull away from God, but to lean in, because he loves you. He wants you. He wants to do this with you. Matthew 26. At the Last Supper, Jesus with his disciples, they were eating. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for it is my body." The Prince of Peace, body was broken for us. And he invites us in with him. The Prince of Peace. We get to participate with him, with his disciples, and join him. So friends, let's partake of the bread together. Jesus, our Prince of Peace, thank you so much. Your broken body allowed peace between us and God the Father. that we can have and live in right relationship with God the Father. Oh, what a special thing that is. How wonderful to be able to join with my friends as we take the bread together and remember that Jesus' broken body made us right with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And then he took the cup of wine, gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it. For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." Jesus, we're told through in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's why in the Old Testament, they had to kill animals and sprinkle the blood on the altar, recognizing that it took death to bring life to us. Jesus' death on the cross, the spilling of his blood, brings life to us. He exchanged his death for ours. And if we've said yes to him, and we receive this as an opportunity to say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't leave us separated from God, and that you didn't leave us making our own amends to the Lord. You did this for us." So friends, let's partake together, thanking the Lord. Thank you, Father, that through the shed blood of your Son, we can be made right with you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that you help us. As we remember what Jesus did for us, we also remember that he gave us his Holy Spirit. And that through your Holy Spirit in us, God himself living and dwelling within me, I have the opportunity to live in peace even though my circumstances stink. Father, remind us that we can live in peace even though there's conflict and turmoil and challenges every time we turn around. That we can choose the Prince of Peace who lives in us. Grow that in us, Lord. Grow peace in us that we might become a little more like Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen.